How do you do? Blindness is often a metaphor for lack of understanding because we see with the heart as well as with the eyes. The man in this story was born with congenital glaucoma, able to see some light and dark, but he was completely blind by the age of 30. By then, however, he knew the difference between darkness and light because his heart and mind and life had been unshackled. Throwing a lifeline to those in despair, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced by the old lighthouse in Chicago, Pacific Garden Mission. What is the best way to help the homeless who have so many needs? A shower and change of clothing, a nourishing meal and a safe place to sleep. These are necessities that don't even address things like toothaches and earaches. Well, Pacific Garden Mission meets all these needs, even medical and dental care, at the Mission Clinic. And thanks to caring friends who give financially to help others, everything is free to those without means. Now, all of this is a great start. But the best way to help the homeless is to show them the way to change their lives. And that, too, the mission does. Through prayer and counseling, pastors and counselors share God's love and forgiveness, introducing each guest to the one who will never leave them or forsake them. And that extraordinary meeting of eternal consequence is what this program celebrates. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2900 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Ah! Kathy, help me!
What is it, Neil?
Oh, my back! Oh, the pain!
What happened?
I don't know. I bent down and it hit me. I can't stand it.
Well, I'll get some help. Don't move.
Don't worry. I can't.
Last week we heard how the man in our story grew up in an Orthodox Jewish family, attending the state school for the blind in Ohio, where he endured name-calling because of his religion and being overweight. He developed a love of music, especially jazz, passed his bar mitzvah and studied piano. He succeeded in his profession but failed in love. In this conclusion of his story, we'll hear how Neil Schlang found real love and freedom when he was unshackled.
Music was my first love, ever since I was a kid listening to country music on the radio. Then I moved into boogie-woogie and jazz as I got older, even though the faculty at the music school I attended in Columbus disdained anything but classical. Not long after I graduated, my mother died, and I was devastated. I moved to Portsmouth to work for a few months. Then I got sick and couldn't get well, so I returned home where my oldest sister was still living with Dad.
Neil, how did you get here?
Oh, by bus to the city and by taxi here.
Oh, you don't look well.
I'm not. I caught the flu and I can't seem to get over it.
Are you gonna stay?
Yeah.
Oh, come to the kitchen then and I'll make you some tea with honey and lemon.
Hey, you must be working the late shift at the hospital.
I am. Sit down. Oh, Dad'll be glad to know you're back.
I doubt it.
Neil, don't be like that.
Look, as soon as I'm well, I'm going to get my own apartment.
Why?
It's not the same without Mother. And it's time I lived on my own.
Well, you always did have spunk, Neil.
My family is wonderful. I hadn't been getting along with Dad or my sister, and I had treated her very badly before I left to go to Portsmouth. Yet, she welcomed me back. As I got better, I began reaching out to my old friends.
Hello?
Joe, it's Neil Schlang.
Neil, I thought you moved to Portsmouth to work with a jazz trio.
I did, and they even offered to let me have the trio after the trumpet player quit. But then I got sick and couldn't get well, so I came home.
Oh, sorry to hear that, buddy. You You had a rough way to go.
Losing mother was the worst part, Joe.
I can imagine.
She did everything for me. Always encouraged me. Always believed in me.
Well, I feel the same way about my parents.
Oh, yeah. You have great parents.
So you're living with your dad now?
Not for long. I'm getting my own apartment. I already have a roommate.
Well, that's brave. What did your dad say about that?
He laughed and said, "You'll be back, but I won't."
Well, you can put to the test what they taught us at the blind school, but it won't be easy.
Yeah, as soon as I'm settled in, I'll invite you over for dinner. Like me, Joe was blind. He was a few years behind me at the blind school, so we weren't friends there. But we both majored in music at the university, and we became friends. He invited me to his house, and I invited him to my new apartment for dinner.
Am I your first guest?
Except for Dad and my sisters. They helped me move in.
Oh, I feel honored, Neil.
Wait till you eat what I fixed before you say that.
What are you fixing?
Ooh, my own recipe. A surprise.
Uh-oh. Hey, just kidding. Has it been hard having your own apartment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the first can I opened was a mess. Cut myself. But I finally got it right. And I finally figured out the laundry room.
Well, a place for everything and everything in its place. It's the only way for us.
Yeah, you are right, Joe. I used to think you were, holier than thou. But you're all right.
That's okay, Neil. I used to think you were a liberal fool.
I still am. Liberal, that is.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.
Oh, I've decided there must be a God, or people wouldn't argue against him.
Well, the Lord is the closest friend you could ever have.
Speaking of being alone, do you know any girls that would date a blind man?
Lots of girls at church, buddy.
I was afraid you'd say that.
You don't need a girl, Neil. You need the Lord.
I'd been exposed to Christianity through teachers and chapel and various friends in college. Though I was looking for love, not God, I had even sung in a choir that a friend directed at a large church. Sermons peppered me with truth, but always I hardened my heart. Then a friend invited me to a Sunday evening church service where the sermon hammered me.
Even the man after God's own heart, King David, was a sinner who had to repent. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of one of his best soldiers. Then David had the man killed in battle, making him a murderer. In Psalm 51, we read his cry of repentance to God. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." That, my friend, is the beginning of salvation.
Amen.
Repent, and then confess your sins to God. He already knows them, but we need to acknowledge them.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we are told to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Bible then enumerates 17 evils that include envy and reveling, things most people don't consider evil. But the Bible says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Beloved, we are called to live for God, not for self. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.
My own selfishness stared me down, and I went home in misery that night. Monday was not much better. I felt like killing myself. At the time, I was playing piano in a classy hotel, and I went home at 2:30 and cried the rest of the night. Tuesday morning, while I was still in bed, a friend came by, a friend that I'd ridiculed for years.
Man, let's go out for breakfast.
I don't feel like eating. I don't even feel like getting out of bed.
You look terrible, Neil. What's wrong?
I really don't know. I'm on the verge of suicide. I just want to die.
I never heard you talk like that. What happened? You get fired?
No, I'm getting good money and good tips, and
People brag on my playing, but I just feel so empty inside, so worthless.
I've been telling you the answer for years, Neil. You need Jesus Christ in your life.
I'd like to be a Christian sometime, but I don't know when.
Why not now? I have my Bible. Let me read you some scriptures. Here in Romans 3 it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one."
That's exactly how I feel. No good.
And also in Romans, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the good news, Neil. God loves you enough to substitute Christ's death for your sins. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." All you have to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you because Jesus died for your sins. You know about the Old Testament sacrifices. They were substitutes for sin. Do you think the blood of the Son of God is sufficient to pay for your sins?
Yes.
Then ask God to forgive you.
You're right. I will. Dear God, I'm asking your forgiveness for my sins. I repent of the rebellious and idolatrous lifestyle I've lived. I have such a foul mouth, such a hard heart, such a bitter spirit. Please forgive me, Lord. Save me and change me for Jesus' sake. I want to live for you, Lord.
You prayed like an old soldier, Neil.
I feel so clean, inside and out, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet.
You should. God just removed all your sins, as far as the east is from the west.
What a relief.
And nobody can take it away from you. When God gives you something, he doesn't take it back. Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand."
I guess I'd better be getting a Braille Bible.
Why don't we start by going out to breakfast, and you tell somebody what happened?
Oh, I don't know if I can do that yet. What will my family say? I felt like a new man, 27 years old that Tuesday morning in March 1965. We went out to a pancake house where I ran into a barmaid from the place where I played, and she asked me why I looked so happy. And boy, you couldn't shut me up. I couldn't stop myself from telling everybody how Jesus had saved me and changed my life. Then I told my family.
What did you say?
I received Jesus as my Savior. I believe he is the true Messiah whose blood was shed for me, for the Jewish people, for all mankind, really.
Are you out of your mind?
No. I gave my life to Christ, and I've never been so happy. I was on the brink of suicide until I was saved.
Neil, I don't believe this. You need a doctor, a psychiatrist.
I've got one. He's been in the business for more than 2,000 years, hasn't lost a case. His name is Jesus. He's on call 24 hours, too. So I can call him anytime. He comes to my house, my room. He's with me wherever I go.
Oh, that's crazy talk. Somebody's confused you.
Not at all. I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
Oh, Neil, how could you do this? Dad will be very upset.
Hey, I can't help that. I can't live his life, and he can't live mine.
You're doing this just to hurt us, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I don't ever want to hurt you again as long as I live. But I really needed the Lord to give me a new life and a reason for living. He did.
Very shortly, we'll hear more about the difficulties Neil faced after his conversion. Unshackled is the longest-running radio drama in history. On the air continuously since 1950, these testimonies cover the world in 8 languages, translated and redramatized in Arabic, Japanese, Korean, Polish, Romanian, Russian, and Spanish. Our website, unshackled.org, where people can listen to stories online, reaches further into areas where the teachings of Christ are prohibited or radio is restricted. And we know from emails and letters that these testimonies change people's lives, shining the light of God's truth into spiritual darkness, encouraging believers and bringing the lost into His kingdom. So if you have a testimony, your own or another, that would glorify God and help someone in despair, just write and give us a brief summary. You can make a difference. Tell the world how Jesus set you free. Our story team will take it from there. The address, Simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Yeah, break time.
Yeah, I invited some friends here tonight. I'm going to tell them how I found Jesus.
I thought you were Jewish.
I am, and now I know He's the Messiah.
Well, what'd your family say about that?
Oh, they weren't too happy, but they loved me, and I didn't say they'd disown me or anything.
To each his own. Me? I got a guru from India, and he helps me think straight.
Well, excuse me. I got to talk to that couple before we start the next set.
Hey, Neil, over here.
Now, wait till you hear the news. I'm a Christian now. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was born again, and God's Holy Spirit came to live inside me. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Were they surprised?
They didn't even know what I was talking about. I can't believe how many people who call themselves Christians are oblivious to the born-again experience. They don't have a clue about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Christians in name only.
So, I lost my job at the piano bar.
Because of your witnessing?
Yeah, the manager said he loved my music, but I wasn't there to promote Jesus.
And you were doing that?
Only on breaks.
Well, that's our real job, Neil, to tell others about Jesus. That's the Great Commission.
Yeah, it cost me my job, but I have to tell others about him. And you know what else happened?
What?
Remember old Ronnie from the blind school? You know, the jazz musician who could play three horns at once?
Yeah, who could forget him?
Well, he called me and told me I was crazy, out of my mind for accepting Christ. He was furious. He's a very bitter person.
No one can have real peace with God until they come to know the Savior.
Well, don't I know that?
Well, don't be discouraged, Neil. God has plans for you.
Well, I'm pretty sure He wants me to preach.
Then you're going to Bible college?
Guess I should, huh?
Well, that's what I'm doing. And it's a good Bible school. Pray about it, and I'll pray for you too.
I'm supposed to give my testimony at the university. Denise set it up, so she's going to meet me and take me there.
Hello?
Joe, it's Neil. She didn't show up. Denise let me down.
Well, people do that sometimes, Neil, but God can always be trusted to keep His word.
How could she do that to me? It really hurts.
You have your Braille Bible now, don't you?
Yes.
Well, read John chapters 14, 15, and 16. You'll feel a lot better after that.
I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, Lord God, thank you for these words. Thank you for your promises, your Holy Spirit, your love. How did I ever live without you? About 3 weeks after my salvation, my roommate invited some musicians to visit our apartment. I knew them because we'd played together, and they made fun of my faith in God. The drummer especially challenged me.
Wait a minute, Neil. You say God is within you, but I say those speakers over there are God. Books are God. God's in everything.
But He sure isn't in you, and He wasn't in me before I prayed. If He was in you, you wouldn't run off to some guru.
Yeah, that's my business. That's my religion.
Certainly it's your business if you want it. But I wouldn't have a God that I would have to wait before I could see Him. God is with me all the time. He always knows my need, and He will always help me, even before I ask.
Nah, don't be so judgmental. You don't even know if the Bible is true or not.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's the book I'm going to follow until Jesus takes me to heaven, and that's final. I did go to Bible college in Circleville, Ohio. Joe was just down the hall from me, and I would walk past his room early in the morning and hear him praying, pleading with God for lost souls.
I was in my second year of Bible school when the wife of a former bass player called.
Hey, I'm calling from Las Vegas, Neil. I can get you a good job here.
Oh, thanks, but no thanks.
What, are you working?
I'm in Bible school, studying for the ministry.
The ministry? I heard you become a Christian.
Well, I'm still a Jew, but I believe Jesus is the Messiah.
But I can get you a job that will guarantee you $500 a week for the rest of your life.
That's all right. I've got a job working for more than that.
You do?
Yes. I've got an eternal inheritance, and my job's going to keep me through all the ages of eternity.
What are you talking about?
I gave my life to Jesus. I want to preach until I die.
Aw, come on now, Neil. This is good money. You've worked hard and you know how to play.
But now I know how to pray, and that's way more important. Jesus died for my sins, and I'm going to follow him from now on. I'm not going to change. I was ordained in 1969, and my father died in 1970. By then, I was in my 30s and still hoping for a godly woman to share my life. I became friends with an evangelist couple who told me about a girl who was saved during their revival service in West Virginia, so I wrote to her pastor. Then I became impatient and researched her phone number. I called and talked with her mother, and that night, Kathy returned my call.
Neil, Mother said that you're a friend of Brother Wayne.
Yes, he told me you were recently saved.
Last summer. Oh, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm so in love with Jesus.
I feel the same way. I'm a Jew, so it was a big step for me.
Oh, did your family accept your decision?
Yeah, they weren't too happy at first, but now they accept my faith. I even finished Bible college so I can become a preacher.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I want to serve the Lord full-time, too. Right now, I'm a nurse.
And so I heard. I talked with several operators trying to get the number of the hospital where you work.
You are determined, aren't you?
I'd like to get to know you better, Kathy.
That won't be easy, Neil. We live in different cities. We could write letters, though.
I'm blind, Kathy. I was born with congenital glaucoma. Until recently, I could see some light and dark, but now I'm totally blind. But we can exchange tapes if you're willing.
Well, I don't have a tape recorder, but I could buy one.
I'll supply the tapes. Phone calls are expensive.
Great.
I'll send some tapes tomorrow. Our first phone call lasted an hour, so I bought some tapes the next morning and mailed them to her. We began exchanging tapes at the end of June 1973. August 27th, she came to visit with her girlfriend. August 28th, I proposed to her. August 29th, she said yes. You just made me the happiest man in the world.
Oh, you make me happy too, Neil. I fell in love with you before I even saw you because of your love for the Lord.
I hope you don't want to wait too long to be married.
Why don't you drive back to Charleston with us and we can talk to my family?
I'd love to. I'm supposed to preach a revival in Macon, Georgia next week, so I can go there after I meet your family.
I wish you could see the fireflies, Neil. They're very beautiful tonight.
I wish I could see you.
Oh, someday, in heaven, you'll get to see everyone. Best of all, Jesus.
We married September 14th, 1973, and I began serving the Lord as an evangelist. I learned to play hymns without all the extra notes and flourishes I was used to adding in jazz music, but I still have my own style. In 1986, I was cooking supper while Kathy rested before going to work, when I bent down and something popped in my back, and I had to go to the hospital.
Neil, you have 5 ruptured discs in your back.
No wonder I can't walk.
The nerves are pinched. That's why you're in so much pain.
I'm supposed to preach a revival in Knoxville this Sunday.
I'll call and cancel. You won't be able to drive there, let alone stand and preach.
Oh, Lord, please help me.
Remember the Lord's words to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
I was mostly bedfast and in torment for about 6 months, and I'm still on medication. In 1999, I had my eyes removed because of terrible headaches, and now I have prosthetic eyes. Then, in September of 2005, my temperature shot up to 106 degrees, and the next day I couldn't walk. The rehab hospital wouldn't take me, so I prayed, "Lord, if I can't be healed, at least help me manage this pain and get up and walk again." Kathy persuaded the rehab hospital to take me, and the second day they got me up. The pain was excruciating, but I walked a little bit every day. Hello?
Neil, it's Joe. How are you doing?
Better. I'm hoping to do some traveling again in a few months. Back to preaching.
You got the preacher's itch?
I'd rather preach than anything. More than play the piano.
Well, I've been praying for you, buddy.
Everybody needs a friend like you. 60 years I've known you.
Well, we've come a long way, Neil, from our days at the blind school.
Yeah. My only regret is that I didn't give my life to Christ sooner, before Mother died.
Well, you can't know what her spiritual condition was before she died, Neil. You weren't saved at the time, so who knows?
That's true. A friend told me that she read the New Testament quite often before she died.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yes, I know. God sees the heart, and he would know if she believed as she read. But I won't know until I get to heaven.
Well, the greatest thing we can do for someone is share the gospel with them and live out the scriptures in our own lives. God does the rest.
Amen. That's why I want to go back to preaching. I am so grateful to God for giving me a wife who loves the Lord. She stood by me in tragedy and triumph. I love to study God's Word. I love to preach it. And it's my prayer that before I go to heaven, I can help point others to Christ. That's why I'm telling the world through Unshackled. Don't be spiritually blind. Invite the light of the world into your heart and life.
In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, what about you, listening friend? If you're tired of stumbling in the darkness, why not follow the Savior? Pray with us right now. Dear God, I am tired of stumbling in the darkness. I want to be saved. I believe Jesus died in my place on the cross, and I believe he rose again, that only his resurrection power can change me. Thank you for your gift of forgiveness through him. Thank you for the gift of eternal life through him. Come into my heart and life, Lord Jesus, and have your own way. In your name I pray, amen. Now please let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to help you grow in faith. The address, Simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and visit our website at unshackled.org. This is program number 2900, heard in the true story of Neil Schlang, part 2, where Tom Geitsch, Cindy Maxey, Liz Zweifler, Rob Maxey, Dave Leffel, and Tom McElroy. Original music, Ralph Colburn, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer, Patrick Wood, script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.